is the Duffin Up Podcast.
Hi.
We're already off the rails again.
No, I'm kidding.
What's going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It is Tuesday, April 27th, and welcome to another all-new episode of the Duffin Up Podcast. My name is Brendan Monroe, and as always, I'm sitting here with the one, the only Michael Adams. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Awesome, man. Awesome. Talking golf with my chooches. Really excited, and let's get right to it, baby.
Fantastic. And as always, our third and definitely not least co-host, he is the Irish chooch himself, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, how are you doing tonight?
Marvelous. Just hoping to keep on rolling right out of last week, and let's keep it going.
How dare you go against what's going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? I was almost about to run through this
computer. I know.
I was like, whoa. Oh man, no, we kid here. If you didn't
listen, new term, chuchitas.
Chuchitas, yes.
Chouchitas. New term. I love that. It was created last week, Timbo.
Yes, it was. We have Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas. We got chuches and chuchitas. And then we got Mike.
And Mikey's fun facts.
And Mike. Oh.
Tidbits.
Yeah, we got Mikey's tidbits. Mikey's tidbits. If we're actually introducing that, I'm going to need like 5 seconds before we get into that just to like mentally prepare. But anyways,
I got to quickly get some information out to you guys because I didn't plan for that one. Didn't plan for Mikey Tidbits.
Okay, we don't need a Mikey's Tidbits this week. We can start Mikey's Tidbits next week.
I'll come up with something. You hold your pants.
Oh, I'm excited.
My shorts are grasped.
The Franco-Prussian War started in 1870 and was fought between France and Prussia, as it mentioned in the Franco-Prussian War.
If someone just started listening to this podcast and they just heard the first 2 minutes of it, they would have no idea it was a golf podcast.
And Brendan's so good at those imitations. He did Big Leash last week. He did them in two different tones and it was spot on. And then he goes and wins it.
I know.
Speaking of Big Leash. Speaking of the Zurich Classic, my favorite guy right now on tour, Cameron Smith, and one of those guys who I was never a big fan of, but is kind of coming around to, Mark Leishman, Big Leish, also known as Team Mullet, which is hilarious because only Cam Smith has a mullet and Mark Leishman's kind of balding, so like that's made it even funnier. But Team Mullet goes out in TPC Louisiana and is able to beat Team South Africa of Louis Oosthuizen and a dude who could be comeback player of the year this year in Charles Schwartzel, goes out, beats them in a playoff hole. Unbelievable back nine. Oh my God, the drama on the back nine. Timmy, talk to me, bud.
Mike, you are not kidding. He did not disappoint. When Cam Smith, boy, so alternate shot, obviously, coming down the stretch, it's tough to be aggressive. Cam Smith on that 302-yard par four, he took a 3-wood and ripped it. It took a hop into the water. I mean, if it hopped 2 feet to the right, that would have been maybe 20 feet past the pin and putting for eagle. But coming down the stretch, I mean, that was like the, I don't know, 14th, 15th hole or something like that. And then you kept on going because right after that, Mark Leishman hits a nice little dainty little 2-foot chip onto the green. It runs right down. I've never seen Mark Leishman give more of an emotional eruption than he did because he's a very, you know, somber guy. He's pretty somber, you know. And when that fish pump came, I was like, oh, it's going to be a match. And boy, that's when the tournament started for me. It was great. And great finish. I did feel bad at the end for the South Africans for Louis Oosthuizen, you know, I'm a Louis Oosthuizen guy, hitting it in the water on that playoff, hole. I mean, that was just a big, big drop of the shoulders for everyone watching. And, but man, You are not kidding. Great back nine. I don't know what you're thinking about, Mikey, but that's how I felt about it.
Yeah, it was exciting, and I caught much of the action on Sunday. And I mean, we did talk about it last week where teams with guys that are familiar with one another from the same region of the world, whether it's same country or continent, but those guys proved to be there in the end. It just, I mean, you had to pick Leash and Cam Smith, and you got Ustase and Schwartzel from South Africa, Australia. It's just good stuff. And I mean, you do have Louis freaking pushing it right. I mean, thing just, oh, how do you lose that one right? But he did, and it was very unfortunate. But they really did kind of give it a go, and I'm just glad that Cam Smith made that putt for par. Like, Cam Smith hit the approach in, kind of bled it right a little bit. It's like 30 feet for birdie, and Leishman puts it up there to like 6 feet. And I was happy to see Cam Smith roll that one right in. And I mean, the team that was just together the most this week won it. And it's cool to like see Big Leish put on the mullet and like just take that role, you know, just accept like that's the goofiness side that they needed to push through and win this one.
Dude, I swear, I've never even seen Mark Leishman like smile on the course before. Like, even when he wins tournaments, I feel like he just holds up his trophy and it's just like,
Leish. This is great.
Leish won. Like, I don't know. But another thing that I was super curious about too is because we always hear it, Ryder Cup this, Ryder Cup, Ryder Cup, Ryder Cup. Guys who play in the Ryder Cup are good in match play events, and they usually are. But both of these guys are President's Cup guys. And the President's Cup team usually kind of gets stomped by the U.S. like on a normal, you know what I mean? Like, normally they don't do as well as the U.S. and normally the U.S. kind of gets stomped in the Ryder Cup, which is super sad and I don't want to talk about. But, you know, being able to see like both of these, you know, kind of guy, you know, both of these teams, Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel, really having kind of a big uptick this year, I think, in their careers, especially Charles Schwartzel. Like, I feel like Charles Schwartzel was like on his way out 2 years ago, like not like coming in maybe two, three, four times a year, playing the Masters because he won it, like not really playing a lot. And then this year he's had a really good year.
He had a bad wrist though, right? Like he had a bad wrist.
He had
an injury, yeah. So he's probably really getting back.
Yeah, and the issue is he didn't let it heal either. So like you hurt your wrist and you're like, well, I still got to play every week. Then like it never heals. Like, and you got to play all the smaller events and the alternate events in which it really never heals because you are actually playing basically every week too. Definitely. So crazy, you know, really tough for Schwartzel, but really happy to see him come back. But I think this is 2021 is going to be the year of Cam Smith. I'm telling you, I've got a feeling he got his third career win. All of his wins, by the way, have come in playoffs. So that's an insane statistic that all of his wins, he won in a playoff in Zurich at the Zurich Classic in 2017, I believe it was. And he won as well. I think he won the Sony Open in 2019 or 2020 in a playoff as well. So like, and then obviously the Zurich Classic in a playoff. So crazy, you know, thing that Cam Smith loves playoffs. Big playoffs guy. Big playoffs guy. But
so that either means one of two things. If he's a playoff guy, that either means he can't make the final putt come regulation time, or he is making clutch putt come playoff time. So I don't know. It's a give or take. You know, do you want to give say he can't finish the job in regulation, he needs to go to a playoff, or he's just. And I don't know how they finish up in regulation. Sometimes he either comes back or, you know, so
he's never been leading because the Zurich one's tough. I mean, the Zurich one's a crap. Like this tournament's obviously a huge crapshoot. Like, no matter what happens,
it's an outlier.
I mean, yeah. Like Victor Hovland and Christopher Ventura were tied for the lead, I think. And they went out and shot a 78. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just nuts.
There was an 82 out there.
There was an 82.
82. How do you? Ooh.
I was like, that's great.
I'm like, an 82. Yeah.
If I shoot an 82, I'm ecstatic. Oh,
that's what alternate shot gets you, though.
Yeah. That's what it really does.
But Cam Smith, I mean, like, goes to show you he's got it somewhere, you know? Like, he's got it somewhere, whether it's
big come from behind guy.
Yeah, but let's see him keep this rolling, you know, win a couple outright just big time, and then he's really like, wow, this guy's coming on.
Mm. Yeah.
He's not there yet. Like, no. The average Joe doesn't know Cam Smith from Joe, who knows who, you know, like, I mean.
From Mark Leishman.
No, Mark Leishman, he's a little better known. He's a little better known. Cam Smith, Cam Champ. I mean, put two of those guys in a bar and go tell me who's who, and no one knows.
We can tell them apart. I understand
listening
it.
To this podcast, probably just randos, just people who are trying to get into golf, you know, just trying to learn more about it.
No, I agree. I think that this is going to be his year, though, just because, like, finished T2nd at the Masters in 2020. So, like, right there. I mean, like, look what it's done for Will Zalatoris, for Christ's sakes. Like, the dude just got getting married now, like, out of nowhere. But, you know, he's, you know, basically on the PGA Tour now full time because of that event and his event at the US Open. And he's been playing well in other events, too. Like, Cam Champ has gotten 4 top fives this year. 1 win, 4 top fives, and 6 top tens. So he has only missed one cut. I think he's played in 14 events. So he's 13 to 14 in events. And it's basically like he's going to get into the top. If he makes the cut, it is more probable than not he gets into the top 10, which is insane.
Wow.
Like, that's Xander Schauffele level, like, right now. Like, you know, at major events, like, I'm telling you, I am not taking Cam Smith out of my daily fantasy picks anytime soon, especially for majors. I'm not taking, I haven't really taken Mark Leishman anytime soon, and I probably won't. But, you know, I love the way he plays. The mullet is hilarious. Did you know he told his wife he was not going to cut the mullet until he won? And now that he's won, he doesn't want to cut the mullet.
Is the buzzer coming out?
I don't know. I feel like if he shows up to the PGA without the mullet, you got to be like, dude, like, you just.
Mullet staying.
The mullet's got to stay. Like, tell his wife he's sorry, but it's got to stay.
You got to get this right, because people are saying wife, girlfriend. I think it's girlfriend.
I think it's like girlfriend or fiance. But hey. Yeah. You know, we always get Lee Westwood's wrong as well, because I call her his wife all the time, and apparently it's literally just girlfriend. So,
what if he grew that mustache just so he could compromise with the girlfriend? He'd be like, "All right, I'll get rid of the mustache because it's a pretty gross mustache."
Yeah, but it's pretty bad.
Got to keep the whole picture. Got to keep
the entire.
He was asked about it after the win, and he was so didn't want to broach that topic. He was like, I don't know. He almost seems stressed out about the hair. And it's like, dude, keep that shit. Keep that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think Cameron Smith's going places. I think this is definitely going to help Mark Leishman, who's been, to be honest with you, a super consistent guy over the past 4 or 5 years. He's won an event 2021 this year in Zurich. 2020, he won the Tournament of Champions because he won in 2019. So that's kind of funny. 2019, he won an event, and 2017, he won an event. So he is very steady Eddie, you know, gets, you know, misses cuts. Like, Mark Leishman misses cuts. And like, when he misses cuts bad. But he pulls out a win a year, great player, you know, probably the second or third most popular player right now from Australia. If, you know, Adam Scott's probably number one. Like, I put Adam Scott, even though I'm not a huge Adam Scott guy, like, Adam Scott's number one. Then it's either him or Jason Day. Like, honestly, if you think about it, I don't really know who else I'd put up there right now.
I've also heard, I mean, I don't have any sources to back this up, I've also heard that Australia, like, almost doesn't really respect or like Jason Day for some reason. There's something that he missed a tournament there or something. He skipped a pretty big time tournament, I think.
He missed the Australian Open and people were pissed.
I think he did, or he questioned going or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that to the Australian. Like, the Australian Open's a pretty major event on the Asian tour. Like, I think they pay out like $4 or $5 million in a purse. Like, it's big news over there. So, especially if you're from Australia, like, you got to go. That would be like us, like, if they, you know, we have the Attleboro Amateur Open, which is always super fun, and Mike plays in it, and Mike usually plays in it, and I'm not good enough to play in it, but that would be like the Attleboro Open, like, calling us up and being like, you got a spot, and us being like, no, we're good. You don't do that. You got to go play your hometown event or your home country event. You just got to. So, you know, going kind of a little bit back to Leishman and Smith, though, like, I think it's great for them. I think it's great for Australia too. Like, continue to grow the game. Smith, you know, still being pretty young, like, Leishman's a bit older, but, you know, Smith still being a young guy, like, he could really become like kind of the face of golf for Australia. And he's got Golf Penguin sponsors him. So he's always wearing the penguin. That's pretty cool. Really enjoyed the event. And really enjoyed watching them winning. I thought they were great. I thought it was awesome to watch them too. I know we touched a little. Oh, sorry.
I'll go back to that Jason Day, just so real quick, if anyone gives a shit. Jason Day in 2016 was skipping the Australian Open and the World Cup of Golf in his home country because of a back injury that forced him to withdraw during the final two PGA Tour events of the season. So how bad was the back injury? That's the question. Australians are probably,
not happy.
You can grind through golf if it means that much to you and your country, but who knows? Who knows?
No, I feel you there. But yeah, I mean, hey, if they don't like Jason Day, we'll like Jason Day for them. And then we'll also like both Leishman and Smith right now. I know we talked about Oosthuizen and Schwartzel a little bit, but I did want to bring up the third place team, because the third place team was Richie Wawrenski and Peter Uihlein, two of our hometown friends, not hometown friends, but two of our home state friends.
Richie.
They're Sox fans, huge Sox fans.
We'll include you in this, Timmy, because, you know, Rhode Island, I mean, heck, you probably lived closer to Peter Uihlein than either me or Mike did, with you guys being right there and him being in New Bedford. So, but yeah, two big, you know, Peter Uihlein's dad ran a Acushnet for a while, which was pretty cool. And, you know, heard stories about him always growing up just on like the amateur circuit and him absolutely destroying, you know, the New England amateur circuit when he was a young kid. And then he moved down to Florida, went and played there. Wawrenski is from outside of from right near Springfield. So, you know, two local guys, pretty awesome being able to see them. Would love to one day get their thoughts on this. And we're going to try and make that happen. But, you know, it might be a little bit of a long shot, but we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it.
Just impressive. Two guys coming out of the Northeast. You only can golf up here, I mean, comfortably. Like,
do you want to know the week before this happened, Peter Uihlein won a Korn Ferry Tour event. Like, that's how he got into the Zurich Classic. Like, he hasn't been playing that much on the PGA Tour this year. So he won on the Korn Ferry. He finished third here at Zurich. And now he's playing this week at Valspar. Like, if he kind of runs with this opportunity, he's gonna be back on the tour and kind of playing for a good amount, you know, good amount of money every week.
Bring him in. Let's rep this great air region of New England. Rep Sox fans all over. I'm all for it. Let's go. Keep that train running.
Talk about New Bedford a little bit. I mean, it's a great fishing market. I mean, boats are running out of there.
Always got to bring up the Codfather, you know, just down there being a mafioso, just right on the docks. It's great. But no, I do think it's really cool to be able to see, like, because golf is such like a, you know, mostly Southern dominated sport. I would say like the Southern states and California are like very big golf havens. It's where a lot of the guys come from because they can play all year. I mean, like, literally pretty much every single PGA Tour player lives in freaking Florida or San Diego, California. Like, that's it. There's some in Seattle, Georgia, you know, but overall, it's just one of those things, being able to see a couple local guys. I think it's really cool.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Keegan Bradley, another example of a New Englander.
Mm-hmm. He's from the sticks, though. He's from way up there in Vermont.
He kind of has that inbred look, you know?
Oh, God.
You never know what good.
Hopefully no one here is listening from Vermont, because that was mean. No, but and Keegan and Brennan Steele both finished great. They finished T4. Sneds, you know, Brand Snedeker and Keith Mitchell kind of coming out of nowhere, finishing T4. And then also Billy. Billy Horschel, not the biggest fans, and that's okay. And
he's proving that his mental state is in better shape than the viewers give him credit for. We think he's absolutely bozo, and he's going out there just making so much money on the golf course.
I know, but we do think he's a bozo. Yells at the fans, not very nice. But Sam Burns, who he played with, he's like a really good up-and-coming kid. He's only 24, played at LSU, so he had a bunch of like family and friends there rooting for him. So that's the good part of the story. I mean, the bad part is Billy Horschel, but I think Billy's, you know, he's trying to be better, which is good, because he couldn't have been any worse than he was a couple years back with yelling at fans and being a jerk. So hopefully he's getting better on that side, which is good.
He did apologize for his Masters antics and everything like that.
He had to. No, well, I mean, like, you know what I mean, where he
like for like a PR and like if he didn't, he just he'd never hear the end of it. I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be years with fans just like starting to chirp him again, and you don't want that. Like, that's what Paul Casey gets all the time now, because Paul Casey legit yells at fans, so the fans just chirp him instead, and you don't want that.
See Keegan's name up top that leaderboard there, Tim.
Billy?
No, Keegan.
Yeah, him and Brendan Steele had a great day. They kind of snuck in like right at the end, and then everyone else, I mean, every other team in the top five like fell apart.
To bring it back to Vermont too, I just looked it up. He was born in Woodstock. There's a great little brewery there. Great spot. Me and my fiance Bryn went a couple weeks back. Franconia Notch up there. I mean, the sights and the sounds. Woo, it's good stuff. I know Timmy meant no harm to Vermont people.
We love Vermonters. I love
lots
Burlington.
Of great memories in Vermont.
We love going up north.
Is that where we used to go cut down the Christmas trees?
You bet your bippy that's where we went.
I never remember. We went a couple times. Brattleboro. You guys went every year. We went like two or three times. It was a great time.
Yo, great time. Are we going to talk about Jon Rahm? I mean, I know he's a topic of conversation on this podcast. I know you guys are big fans. Big fans. I mean, is he ever going to be home for his kid that's newly born? I mean, stay home, brother. Like, don't play golf one weekend and go hang out with your little friggin' child that's trying to.
So I think he is out. I think the Valspar, he was too much. He was just like, not doing it, guys. Like, I'm going home for a week. I'll actually check that real quick, because this would be hilarious if he's playing again this week. But Jon Rahm is that guy. Jon Rahm is like one of these.
That's why he's on my X list. I don't root for him.
Jon Rahm not playing this week. So there you go, Mikey.
All right.
I'm sure if he wasn't the defending champ, he probably would not have
played. He would not have played. He wouldn't have played if he didn't have to, because he wasn't at RBC. He didn't come to the RBC. He hates Pete Dye courses too. So that's super funny that like TPC Louisiana is a pretty famous Pete Dye course. He hates Pete Dye courses.
They're hard.
They're very hard.
That 17th hole. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, if you miss left, you're in the water. If you miss right, you're going down in a gully, and it's like it's what seems like a 10-foot wide green.
Exactly. And
the greens were rock hard too. You can't even land it on the green.
Oh yeah. They say brown is beautiful. Brown is hard when the greens get brown, because the greens were brown here too. They're started getting brown spots at the RBC as well. When those greens get brown spots,
they look like in August.
Yeah. They're just rock solid. Like, you can't keep the ball on it. Like, it's insane how good these guys are to even keep the ball on there. Like, I take out a pitching wedge and it would roll off, like roll off the back. I'd be like, what? Like, I put backspin on that. but I mean, I like Rahm. They finished seventh I like Rom. I actually really like Ryan Palmer. Like I'm kind of becoming like a Ryan Palmer guy because I think he just gets out there and he's just like I said last time, oh, well, John's having a meltdown. I'm just going to hit the ball. I think he's just Mr. Steady Eddie. And it's kind of cool to see, although he has had a lot of ups and downs. But I think he's a good player, too. But yeah, I mean, kind of going back into it, too, with the format. And I think the format is like the most crucial part as to why Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman won, because Mike said it earlier, like you got to know your partner and you got to know like what's going on. You know what I mean? Like you got to be able to really play well. And I just think with the best ball and the alt shot, I'm not exactly sure if I love the format of two days, but I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on the two formats and then if it's good 2 days each, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Wait, explain it though, because I honestly don't even know. So I know they played alternate shot on Sunday, right?
They played alt shot on Sunday and or Friday and Sunday.
Right. And then
they played four ball is best ball. Yeah, you play your own ball all the way in.
And you take
the best score.
Yeah. So what was I going to say? Alternate shot. I don't know. I like that. I liked it on Sunday. And I don't know. I don't know. Tim, what do you got? I really don't. I didn't see the four ball. So I guess it's just, again, good golf. Like you take the best score. So there's really, you're not bringing any bogeys, double bogeys into play, which there's not. I like alternate shot on Sunday. I know that. That makes things just, the pressure is mounted big time.
I do like to switch it up. And I know when we were talking about, I believe it was the Valero Texas, no, maybe not the Valero, the one where the match play event. That we were done with match play, blah blah blah. I do like this event because it does switch it up a tad. But here's a proposition for you guys, because Brendan, I know what you're saying. I know you haven't given your opinion, but I kind of got a gist of where you're going with it. But I have a proposition. How about we do almost like a Ryder Cup thing where we do like the first day's a scramble, second day's alternate shot or something like that. We can switch the orders. Third day, we do each person, we do a four ball. And then the last day, I don't know. We can do straight up aggregate or something like that. Like, you know, let's switch it up every single day. And
All individuals, you're saying? No team?
No, it's still team.
No, still right? team. Still yeah. team, because it has to be, because first scramble and alternate shot has to be team.
Right.
Because I do like the team aspect, because it was cool to watch, like you were saying, it's cool to watch the South Africans talk in African, which is, I don't know what exact language it is, but, you know, I almost forget, you know, because we hear them speak English in interviews and things like that. But it's cool to see them, you know, go back and forth in their native tongue and things like that.
Definitely.
Yeah, a little bit of Mikey tidbits right here, but it's Afrikaner, which is basically like a form of Dutch. So it's interesting. Really? Yeah, little German, little Dutch, little English, all mixed into one little gobbledygook of a language. but yeah, so I would agree a little bit, Tim. My thing is that I either want scoring or I want carnage. So I'm either going all 4 days alt shot, and we're going to get some pluses in there, like legit plus, like the winner might be like even, you know, on some weeks for, or some years for the tournament, or I'm going two ball, four ball, because, oh yeah, I'm going like scramble, four ball, like two man scramble for each team. Like we're getting like 18 under. Like we are getting, you know what I mean? Like we are going so low that it will be crazy.
That's cool.
I would rather it be that way than like the four ball alt shot. Cause I feel like the four ball alt shot is like, I like that for the Ryder Cup, where like the first day is alt shot, the second day or sorry, the first event is alt shot. The second event is four ball. The next event is four ball alt shot. Like, I like how they do it that way in the Ryder Cup, and they always kind of keep it to four ball and alt shot. But I just really want scoring in something like this. And when it's a team aggregate, like it is with four ball, like imagine going out with two ball, like there's going to be some crazy scores and I want it.
Do you think that they play with this? Would they play with a different mindset if they played two ball, you think?
As oh my God. They'd be going for the pin every single chance.
That's what they do in four ball either.
Mm-mm.
No,
I know they definitely don't do it in alt shot. Like alt shot, you can't. But four ball, like imagine you take the best drive.
Yeah.
So there's two drives. You take the best drive. There's two second shots. You take the best second shot. There's two putts. You know what I mean? Like it's all, I just think it'd be monstrous. Like I think the scores would be outrageous and I'd love every second of it. Like it's a difference. It's like for the US Open, you want carnage. Like you want the scores to be high. You want the cut to be like plus 11. Like, you know what I mean? For this event, I want scores low. I want them as low as possible.
But go ahead, Brad. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, you're kind of making it like a gimmicky event, and now you're giving two guys PGA Tour wins.
It's already a gimmicky event, though. You know what I mean? It's already a team event. Like, I mean, it's not gimmicky. Don't get me wrong. But, like, it's already a team event. So like if you're gonna do a team event, I want the lowest of all low scores. I want them down.
Well, I guess like a normal event in stroke play is just right here, right in the middle as far as high score, low score. It's right in the middle. Then they kind of offset the low scores of four ball by the hard mm-hmm. two rounds of, you know, so it kind of evens out in the middle. But it does sound like you agree that you do still want it to be different. A different event, not just your normal play.
No, I don't want a stroke play. I want a team event. I want team event, and I want the scores to be freaking low as hell. Like that's the event that I want for this one. But I don't mind it right now. I just think it's such a total difference when you play four ball and then you play alt shot. Like I would rather it be absolute carnage and everyone plays alt shot or absolute or like just scoring at ease. And do a little bit of two ball in there too.
So we agree that we want something different. We like the team thing. You want the scoring and I want the different formats.
Correct.
All right. I see what you're saying. Mikey, yeah. What do you got? I like that, Brent. I like the,
I'm just happy that we have an event that is different than mm-hmm. every other week. So you guys can argue and I like both sides. I love both points. And I mean, Tim spreading it out, different types of formats, different days, teams. Brendan just wanting to see guys either suffer and not want to play golf the next weekend, just quit the PGA Tour.
Or score at will.
Or make the course just close because everyone's like, guys just obliterated that thing. They lit it on fire. See you later. Shut the course down. Like you can't play that course ever again.
I just remember when we used to play in scrambles and it was freaking, you know, we would get there and we would play in a scramble and there were teams being like 18 under. I'm like, first of all, no, you cheated. Second of all,
100%.
Second of all, yeah, I want one event. I just want one event like that on tour where the scoring is already getting a little outrageous. I think we can all agree on that. And it's not really the PGA Tour's fault, but I just want an event. Like I wanted to see like 35 under, like I want to see something absolutely outrageous on that side.
This is completely different, completely different. What if we put a PGA Tour event on a 4,500 yard course and see how freaking low they can go? How are we gonna, what's stopping us from doing that if we want low scores? I mean,
sounds like that's what Brendan wants to make the cup bigger.
Well, I mean, I tell me when you're playing a home course or something like this, you don't have that thought in the back of your head where you're like, I really wonder what a PGA Tour pro would score here or do on this hole. You know what I mean? And I'm always curious, like,
At Chamawa.
Chamawa.
27 under.
Let's put him there.
A team event at Chamawa. A team event at Chamawa for the PGA.
30. And there would be
holes. Chamawa would close. Chamawa would close. We would be like, we are not hosting any more pit players ever again.
Oh, man. So, Brennan, this is what I love. This is why I love talking to you guys about this, because there are like legitimate things about it. Like, imagine you go through, so like, you know, you go 3 days with it. You go a 4-ball day, a 2-ball scramble day, and a 4-ball day, and then you get alt shot. Like, I just think having the alt shot, it's either got to be all alt shot because it's so hard and so difficult, or you got to go just, we're doing scoring, guys. Like, we don't care. This is going to be great. Like, we're just going scoring. So,
no, they said no to that. They spread alt shot out over 2 days, 4-ball over 2 days, and they lock in the Zurich Classic every year. So I'm excited because I'm learning more about the Zurich Classic every second that we talk about it. And it's just friggin' fantastic.
What happens when the co-host doesn't watch the event?
I watch the event.
I'm joking.
I was too busy playing Saturday. I mean,
frick. I know you were. We'll get to bogeys for the boys. Don't worry. We'll get to bogeys for the boys. Did want to touch on, I know I won nothing this week in Daily Fantasy. Mikey, how'd you do?
I don't think I have any more money to play this week. No, I didn't win a dime.
Timbo, I think you probably did pretty well.
Ended up in the green. We're in the green.
One guy in the green.
I finished, I don't know, like 2,000th or something like that, and put in 5 bones, came out with 5 bones plus.
That's a good lineup.
And so I just basically, I had 4 guys within the top, within the top 15, and then that basically just secured my spot in the green. And thank you to William Horschel. Thank you to the Aussies, and that's where we're going. I should have picked Louis, just like you said, Mike. I should have went with him, but of course, when the 1 week I give him off, you know, he comes up. But
isn't that the worst too?
I feel for Louis though, man.
That was brutal.
I know, Louis. I mean, he, especially in a team event, you're letting your mate down. He was gut wrenched. He was just
Did you hear that stat about Louis Oosthuizen when he's on that final putt to give him not to tie it, but to sink that putt to put the little pressure on Cam Smith? It was like a 9-foot putt, and they came out with a stat. They said there is no one in the PGA Tour that you would want taking that putt than Louis Oosthuizen, because he is number one in putts. From 10 foot in, he makes
90%.
Not after you friggin' put it in the water on the playoff.
Oh, yeah. No, he had a Woody Austin level meltdown on that hole. But,
free throw shooters don't even get there.
No, not at all. That's insane.
The free throw shot don't change. It don't change. It's the same thing every time. Golf, it changes. That green, it changes.
No, right. I agree. I mean, it was just a great, it is a great event. Obviously, like, you know, I'm over here saying, oh, this should have happened. But no, I agree completely with you guys. It is a great event. I loved watching it. And, you know, I do feel bad for Louis, but I'm, again, very happy for Cameron Smith. Very happy for Mark Leishman. Very happy that the Zurich Classic is still a success and still doing well down there in New Orleans. Little bit of Gators I saw there too. So, you know, felt almost like South Carolina with all the Gators there. So it felt pretty good. But great event.
Oh, that was great.
Matt Wallace almost tackling him on the tee box. Unbelievable.
Because he wasn't watching.
Yeah.
He hit the shot. He's like, all right, that's going to be on the green somewhere. He puts his club away, and then
Matt Wallace just freaking goes after him. It was hilarious. Hey, bud,
that just went in the hole. and great, awesome. I didn't realize this until they said, obviously, you know, you think Graham McDowell's been around, you know, a decade and a half, and, you know, you figured he has one hole in one on the PGA Tour. It's his first hole in one on the PGA Tour.
And it doesn't count. And it technically does not count.
Why?
Because it's alternate shot? Because it was in a team event. Mm-hmm. And it was an alt shot day, I think, too, wasn't it?
It was.
It wasn't a four ball day. It was an alt shot day. How upsetting is it? Yeah, so it technically does not count as a hole in one. So like it, so like the PGA Tour, like I'm telling you, there's a rule. The PGA Tour tracks your holes in one. It technically does not count as a hole in one because it was an alt shot. It was during an alt shot event. Very upsetting. I agree.
Yet another rule that needs to be changed.
Keep going.
He said he's had like 26 other hole-in-ones.
He's had like 27 other hole-in-ones, but none in competition.
So I don't feel that bad for him. He's got 27.
But yeah, I mean, great event down New Orleans. I think we've pretty much covered, you know, the Zurich Classic. So we want to move on. There was something that came out last week that was really interesting. And it's the PGA Tour releases a $40 million bonus pool for the end of the year for their new impact score and popular player scoring system. So it's super interesting. I was able to read up on it a little bit over the weekend. And it's basically, it combines your FedEx Cup list with your popularity on Google searches, your popularity on social media, and your Meltwater mentions, which is another thing about, which is regular media, I believe, and a couple other things here and there as well. So one of the most interesting ways to kind of score a group of players, and the first prize for the year, $8 million. So if you do it, $8 million. So to my question for you guys is this just how they're going to keep paying Tiger Woods $8 million a year for the next couple of years? Because you know he's going to win this.
He's got to be an automatic first.
That's what I was thinking. Like, there's no way. Like, maybe Phil, because Phil does a couple things here and there. Like, he's pretty popular on social media. But, like, I don't know. Like, Dustin Johnson kind of keeps to himself. Like, Jordan's not a big social media guy. Justin Thomas is on there a little bit here and there. I think it tries to like bring up a couple other people who like are okay. Like Bubba Watson, I know, is pretty popular on social media. There's a couple other people, but yeah, like this has got to be like just $8 million straight to Tiger Woods every year, right?
I mean, you saw the picture. I'm sure you guys saw the picture of him with his dog building his new course. And that came up. I saw it on CNN.
Yeah.
I mean, CNN has nothing to do with sports.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with it. And it came up on CNN. Okay, CNN, why are you randomly put? Because Tiger, you see Tiger Woods on the screen, you're like, oh, all right. Even if I don't want, you know?
I mean, agree.
Automatic W. Number
completely
one.
Agree.
$8 million. So give it to him now.
You guys hear me all right? My Wi-Fi, oh,
we,
I don't know if
we saw. We saw too. Don't worry.
If you guys didn't see, I'm standing. I'm doing a standing ovation and clapping, standing ovation to seeing that Tiger picture. Oh, that's just unbelievable. But yeah, that's all. That's just riveting stuff and good to see him out and up and smiling. So.
No, I agree. And I mean, that was great. That was great to see. But so apparently the main reason is that this is supposed to be like a deterrent for the top players to go to this new breakaway golf tour that's being talked about called the Premier Golf League. And yeah, so apparently it's supposed to be like 17 events over. I was reading an article about this one too. It's supposed to be like 17 events in a year. I think it's like the top, it's supposed to be like 60 players only in the event. So it's even lower than, you know, the World Golf Champion, like even lower than that. 3 days instead of 4 days, no cuts, automatic payment. And like, so there's apparently going to be like this new league or this new tour that's starting up. And they're trying to like, I think they got like some pretty significant backing too. Like, I think they got like a big bank in London who's like helping them out. And there's a couple other like big investors that are going to try and make this a thing. But I mean, I'm happy for it because it does pay players who our number one good and our number two active, you know, within the media and trying to help grow the game and trying to help build it in the right direction. So I'm really happy about that. I really hope this Premier Golf League does not happen because I like the PGA Tour. But at the same time, like if this is the way to keep that deterrent away, I think I'm all for it. I'm all for these guys getting a little bit more money and a little bit more from them just trying to help grow the game.
So this 17 events, so basically it's going to be like all those players who are there, you know, the big, big time. And obviously this mm-hmm. is all hypothetical because it probably won't happen, but
they're talking right? about it.
And so these 17 events would be based around big events. So like they wouldn't put it on the same week as the Masters because all those players, it'd be so on like Zurich Classic week or something like that, you know?
So yes, but here's the thing. Both the PGA Tour and European Tour basically came out and said, if you go play in this event, if you go play with on this, like we're going to revoke your PGA Tour card.
Hmm. You can mm-hmm. still play in the Masters, right? You just couldn't play in the US Open. You couldn't play in the British and the PGA, right?
And you couldn't play regularly on the PGA either.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like the players, no.
Yeah. So there would be no tour championship, which is $10 million. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you win that. No FedEx Cup, no anything like that. And like, yeah, it's good. Like, I don't like that idea because, again, it's a more of a closed system than it has right now, too. Like, they're not going to give kid who won the Corn Ferry Tour, you know, tournament the week before, like, a chance to play in that event. Like, what happens if you have a Will Zalatoris? You wouldn't have a Will Zalatoris on the Premier Golf League because he wouldn't qualify because he's not top, you know, at the time he wasn't a top 50 player, top 40 player in the world. Like, you just wouldn't have it, which sucks.
True.
I would rather have like a guy get in there, build his worth on the PGA Tour and keep climbing and getting paid. And I think the PGA does need to sometimes do a little bit better with all the tournament price, with the tournament pools. And obviously during a COVID year, not the best thing to talk about, but you know, definitely really like this idea from it. And I'm just not a fan of like the Premier Golf League side of it either.
Yeah. I don't want people to get to the upper level of the PGA Tour and think that the next level is this Premier level.
Exactly.
Like that's, they're graduating to this Premier level. Like that's the creme de la creme. I'm with you on there. And it sounds like, remember they were talking to Rory and Rory's like, I'm not going to this Premier.
Exactly.
He was kind of the person who was like, set the tone and is like, don't go guys. Like this is dumb. And it almost sounds like they must have had this thing in the works for a while, like after they first came out with this Premier League thing. So the PGA Tour, they probably had this bonus in the works as soon as mm-hmm. like almost in a panic reaction to this thing being announced. And they kind of kept going with it. But after Rory said that, everyone in the PGA Tour, they kind of, you know, went with Rory and there was really kind of made it dead. So it's almost like the PGA Tour is out of $40 million when they really didn't have to spend that $40 million.
But I think they kind of did though, because it keeps the deterrent away too, where it's just like, hey, you guys are popular. You're growing the game. We have this $40 million player pool minus $8 million because that's going to Tiger.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have a hard time. Is there not a better way to just pay Rory, pay Justin, pay Spieth, pay the guys that like, why do you have to make it sound like it's a popularity, social media, like let's act all disingenuous and try and put on a facade and win people, win money. I mean, hopefully people do it the right way. Like, hopefully it's not like I know there's other podcasts out there and, like is a Patrick Reed gonna move that needle to where, you know, like he'll ever be on it or is
I'll tell you a guy, Max Homa is a big guy on social media and is a pretty darn good player, but he could end up in that top 10 easily, walk away with an extra $1 million at the end of the year. Like that's a guy, has a podcast, great on social media, does all this other stuff. Like he's fantastic. I love him.
Do you think top 10 is going to be real like, tough to get in?
But it's also based on, so it's based on FedEx Cup points. It's based on this. It's based, you know, and then it's based on all the social media stuff too. So it's based on regular.
I don't get that.
They have a scoring system that they're using. I don't totally understand it either. Like, believe me, I wish I did.
Like, can you be not like Bryson? Like, Bryson's got to be in the top. Yeah,
Bryson's 10,
like,
gonna make a lot of money from this, and that's the one thing that pisses me off and draws. And
that's the thing, like the rich. I mean, if there's always gonna be more money out there, like if there's gonna be a premier golf league that people want to go join because people are throwing them twice as much money, like there's always. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is not. This isn't really a deterrent, and if you're gonna like potentially lose guys, let's make it easier for those guys that are grinding, that are probably like just about to make it and potentially take their talents to the level of those higher ups and those top guys. Like there are guys grinding on the PGA Tour that like just probably stop playing just because they need to pay for everything. Like it's the only sport where if you don't win, you don't, like there's no guaranteed contract. There's no nothing. Like you're paying your own way everywhere. And these guys are, I don't know, like let's feed the golf system from the bottom up. And mm-hmm. I think the guys like Rory and Spieth, and they're going to understand, like, it's not all about the money. It's not all about, like, I feel like those guys are born in the history of the game and the original roots and all that.
Yeah. Jazz. I think that's why Rory basically came out and was like, this is a dumb idea. Like when they talked about the Premier Golf League, he was like, this is stupid. Like no one's going to like, can't just have the 40 best golfers every week. Like that's not, you don't get like the allure of the PGA Tour, which is like a guy like Stewart Cink being 47 years old and coming out of nowhere and winning two events this year. That's like, he wouldn't have been on that. You know what I mean?
That's golf, that's, man. Yeah. You guys are 65 year olds who can fricking still hack it and still compete. And yeah, I mean, it's like,
Tom Watson at 59 years old came this close to winning the Open.
I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that.
And he lost to Stewart Cink. He did lose to Stewart Cink.
Will Zalatoris
would not be on there.
Nope.
No, I know. We talked about that earlier. He would never gotten in the U.S. Open. He wouldn't. You know what I mean? He'd still be on the Korn Ferry Tour right now. Like, I mean, I love the Korn Ferry Tour. It's great. I love to watch it. But like, Will Zalatoris should be on the PGA Tour. And Will Zalatoris would not be in the Premier Golf League right now. So I'm happy that they did this as a deterrent. I'm happy that they're paying their stars a little bit more. And I'm also happy that there is a chance, no matter how slim, that there may be some of the lower level guys who are good, but are very good at community outreach and very good on social media and growing the game can continue to do that.
Mike, I got a compromise for you.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Hey.
We got an invader.
Welcome, Brian O'Reilly.
Welcome.
I haven't got the call from the bullpen, so I'm gonna sub myself in right away.
We love it. So Bry Guy and I are golfing tomorrow morning.
Let's go.
Getting up early and going to Triggs and
three putting all the time.
Hitting drives that are really, really long and three putting all the time.
Yeah. If you want to learn how to ruin a great drive, take my class. It's Ruining Great Drive 101 with Brian O'Reilly. But good to see you guys. Sorry for popping in. But
you're good, man. No worries. This is great.
Got a little impatient.
Okay.
I was waiting for the call.
Call to the bullpen. Don't worry. You're here. That's all that matters.
It wasn't the ninth inning. Yeah, I mean, we were waiting for you to close, baby.
I've been stretching and tossing for so long.
love it.
So for everybody who doesn't know, that's my brother. He follow him on TikTok, Brian O'Reilly. He's a Hack Life supporter and he is an avid listener. He loves the podcast. Just a great guy. Known him all my life, you know. Actually, no.
Just a great guy. Oh my god.
First person to know me.
We call him Patna in Michael Adams land. He's called Patna.
Well,
shout out Sonny Hack Life Headwear. One day he'll send me the follow as well.
He sent me some of his shoes.
Did he? Are they nice?
Yeah, I got some Foot Joys, Dry Joys.
You wearing them tomorrow?
Very nice.
The Wolfie.
Very nice. Yes, Sonny, you got a free ad. Don't worry.
Sonny Graciano, nicest guy in all of California. So there we go.
Love it.
Good to see you guys. Big fan.
Good to see you, Brad Guy.
Awesome.
We'll have you on again. Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll get you back on here.
I'm waiting for my call. I'm stretching and tossing until then. Peace and blessing. Hell
yeah. Oh, what a lovely interjection that was. It's always great to see Brian. Great that he has his first official Tough and Up podcast introduction. So, Brad Guy, unbelievable. That was great.
Wow.
Anyways, I think we are going to move on.
Where were we?
We were in the bonus pool. We do want to give a quick shout out to the LPGA Tour, obviously. Brooke Henderson winning her 10th career event and also snapping a streak. She had not won since 2019. I'm telling you, the streaks are ending. Streaks are ending like crazy. Stuart Sink, 12-year streak, done. Lydia Ko, 4-year streak, done. Hideki Matsuyama, 4-year streak, done. Jordan Spieth, 5-year streak, I think, right? At least.
Yep.
I think it was 4 or 5. Done.
Yep.
Brooke Henderson, rising star on the LPGA Tour. Unbelievable Canadian golfer. 2-year streak, done. We're good. We got this. So great job for her. And like I said before, ending the droughts on tour this year. So now all we need is just a nice little victory for someone at the PGA Championship. I'm not sure who yet. Maybe it's Charlie Hoffman. Maybe it's our boy Charlie Hoffman. Maybe he comes out and ends his drought. That'd be great. But
Jordan has to win the PGA Championship.
He's got to win the Open. Oh, no, he has to win the PGA. No, he's got to win the PGA. Yep, PGA. He's got to win the PGA. You're right. I do have him winning the Open, though, this year, which is crazy because Louis's probably going to win it since it's at St. Andrews.
That's right.
Oh, man. But congrats to Brooke. Congrats to everyone on the LPGA Tour. Been watching a good amount of it. They've started putting it on Golf Channel a lot more, and I will say, like, I like watching it. Brooke Henderson has a crazy swing. She chokes up on her club. Like she's like, even on her driver, like she chokes up on it and she just swings the daylights out of it. And it's scary. Like
she's short too, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's like, I think 5'4", 5'5", but she hits the ball a country mile.
That's scary. What I mean. A lot of bang for your buck for, you know,
exactly. And she chokes up too. Imagine if she didn't choke up on her club, like how much more power she could get. But it's working. That's all that matters. So great job, Brooke. We love it. Can't wait to probably talk about you next week when you probably win again because you're on fire, but it's okay. Maybe we'll have another LPGA Tour winner too. Now, moving into our preview of this week, the Valspar Championship. Down in Florida, down nice near nice little Tampa Bay, and this Brook Country Club. It's actually closer to Clearwater, but you know, right on the west coast of Florida, on the Gulf side. Beautiful course, absolutely beautiful course. Last year was not played. They did not play it last year because it was right smack in the middle of the beginning of COVID, and it was a very scary time back then. I'm sure you guys all remember that, not leaving your house. Not really going anywhere. Not a good time for us. So they canceled that. But this year, Paul Casey will be defending his back-to-back championships. He won it in 2018 and he won it in 2019. Very, very good player. Like we said before, probably not the nicest guy, but that's okay. you know, I do think, you know, like a lot of these courses now, there is a nice little stretch that they nickname. So this is called the Snake Pit. They play at Copperhead Golf Course. They play at Copperhead Golf Course down in Palm Harbor. So it is nicknamed the Snake Pit. And these three holes, you know, 16, 17, and 18. 16 is a big old dog leg. Pretty scary dog leg as well. 17 is a par 3, and then 18... the nice par 4 going back in, but there are a couple church pew bunkers on the right hand side as well. So overall, really good course. I'm really looking forward to it. Again, a place we have not seen since 2019. So I'm excited for it. Mikey, thoughts?
Yeah, man, I'm just looking at the course right now. That 17th hole looks, no, sorry, 16th hole looks
sweet. Dire. Yeah,
that looks like it is water everywhere. I mean.
And it tempts you just enough to think that you want to hit the driver and think you might be able to cut the corner a little bit. And then there's the water right there. And you're like, you know what? Probably shouldn't have done that.
Man, yeah. This hole looks sweet. But no, like you said, a course we haven't seen in a little while. It's a pretty good looking, I mean, you got JT and Dustin Johnson leading it out. And the guys that follow him, Patrick Reed in there. I mean, we're going to rattle off some names shortly. But I'm excited to see where this thing goes. And it's another PGA Tour event. It gives you something to watch on the weekends and follow. And I mean, it is really so relaxing. Like I just throw it on like before I go to bed. Like I'll just watch reruns. I mean, it's beautiful stuff. The birds chirping. You just get the most pleasant of sights. And man, you're watching some relaxing golf with no skin in the game. You're just kind of watching it all unfold. I'm looking forward to it.
Is that a betting term? No skin in the game?
Yes.
So. Oh, it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, Simbo. The 2018, the first Paul Casey win, the first Paul Casey W. Do you guys remember what that was the beginning of? I remember very vividly. This was the beginning of Tiger's comeback. This is the first event where he was back in contention. Mm-hmm. Him and Paul Casey were battling it out down the stretch. It was the first time in forever since he last won at Firestone, which was his last PGA Tour victory, I believe. Don't quote me on that. Before
the Masters?
Before the Tour Championship.
Oh, right. He did win the Tour Championship. I forgot about that.
So this was the Tour Championship year and then he went on to contend in the PGA Championship. Then he went to the Tour Championship. But this was him and Tiger was back. He was back on the leaderboard. Brendan, you look like you have a stat for me.
No, I'm looking it up right now. I just want to see what his what happened there.
So anyway, it was I saw his name on the leaderboard. I hadn't seen it in years, and I was ready, locked in. I knew he was back. I didn't know he was that back, but he was back. He was ready, and then when come PGA Championship time, I mean, him and Brooks kept battling down the stretch. And so, yeah, it was the beginning of Tiger comeback. So I'll never forget that. I remember the course well, just watching that, him and Paul Casey.
You were correct, by the way, that was his that was the Tour Championship was his first win since the Bridgestone Invitational in 2013. So again, another streak broken. But yeah, I mean, that was really, I mean, I can't really say anything else besides that. Just watching Tiger back then and thinking he was never going to be really close. And then he does that. Then he goes to the Open and is he leading after 54 holes or he's in major contention on the last day at the Open? Then he goes and wins the Tour Championship and then he goes and wins the Masters. Like, ooh, what a year. What a year 2018 into 2019 was. Golly, fantastic stuff.
I'm a little riding the roller coaster. Riding the Tiger wave. Highs, lows.
If anyone's listening and they hear a bit of silence, it's because usually on the screen, something is going on with we're making motions or faces or something like that. So it does pay to watch. I know it's who the hell wants to watch the three chooches talk into a microphone. But
3.5 hour podcast.
Yeah. But there is sometimes a benefit to it at times. But yeah. Just a little behind the scenes look or a little explanation.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. If me and Tim just break out in laughter and you guys have no idea why, it's usually because Michael is doing something very outrageous down on.
Just outrageous.
Oh, no, just outrageous. It's never inappropriate. It's just outrageous, like the Tiger wave, because none of us knew what was going on with the Tiger
wave. It was more like this. He was trending. I don't know what.
He was trending up, but then all of a sudden, like, We don't know.
We get what you were saying, though.
We do. We do.
He's brought you to the highest of highs and the lowest.
The lowest of lows. That is very true. That is very, very true. All right, boys. Well, now we got one of the best parts of the show. It is when we lose all of our money by telling you how we're going to bet this week so you guys do the exact opposite. It is the Daily Fantasy Picks, sponsored by no one. Maybe you could sponsor us, and then we will only play your platform. But
no one. I'm not mentioning any names anymore. DF, Daily Fantasy.
Finally learned. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But all right. So, Timbo, I know you went first last week. Mike, were you the week before going first?
I do not recall.
I think you were, because I think we go 1, 2, 3, and like that person goes last. So you were last week. So I'll go first. First pick, Abraham Ancer, 9,300. I have a very, this lineup, I have no one over 10,000. And I have no one under 7,000.
So mom and this pop, is, baby.
This is not a mom and pop. No, the mom and pop is you have no one over 7,000. Or sorry, you have no one over 8,000 because you're a maniac. No, hey, but it is
pretty well that week.
You did do really well that week, didn't you?
No, not that week. Not that week.
Oh no, that was Masters week. Never mind. Yep. Yeah, no. I was the only one who did well that week, and
yep,
I will never forgive you. We'll never forgive you, Daniel Berger. But yeah, so I got Abe Ancer, $9,300. The dude's just kind of a machine. I mean, he's not even having like a great year, but he's having a very, very good year. Has not missed a cut since the Genesis Invitational in February. Just a monster. I love him. My second guy, $9,100, Joaquin Niemann. This dude, 23 years old, has not missed a cut. 3 top 10s. Monster player. Love him. Think he's going to be great. And he's just getting started. He's on his up and up. He's not on a wave. He's not waving. He's on a forward trajectory. $8,700 next up. I got Jason Kokrak. Kokrak played really well last week at the Zurich, and he was tied for second and tied for eighth in the 2019 and 2018 Valspars. So I think he's great. I think he's a good pickup. $8,700. He's a little pricey, but at the same time, I'll take it for him. $8,600. Charlie Hoffman. Told you, he's staying. He's in. He is staying until he lets me down, and he has not let me down yet. And he's having like a really good comeback year too. So I really like that pick for me. $7,100. I got Charles Schwartzel. Again, coming off a good week last week. Obviously, playoff. You know, finished second in the playoff. And he's having a pretty good year. He's only missed six. He's made 9 out of 15 cuts. Pretty good. I like where he's going. And $7,100. And this one pained me to pick. This one pained me. Rory Sabatini. Biggest jerk on the PGA Tour. Bar none. Worse than Poulter. Worse than pretty much everyone. Actually, no, worse than everyone. Just a jerk. But he plays really well. I think he's got 2 straight top 10s in there, so I had to go with him. So hopefully he lets me down this week so I never have to pick him again. But yep, that was my lineup. So Mikey, what do you got?
Wow. I'm excited, man. I don't know. Brian O'Reilly hopping on the podcast, call to the bullpen, subbing yourself.
Someone's going daily fantasy lineup's not loading.
No. Going to the score table when the coach doesn't tell you to go to the score table because you just want to sub in so bad, you know. I made a couple quick subs, you know, while Brendan was on his little. And that was my that was my reaction to Sabatini, because Sabatini made my lineup like 2 seconds prior to you going into how you chose him. So I have Rory Sabatini coming in at $7,100. He's a hothead, but I'll take him.
He's not even a hothead. He's just a jerk. Like, he's just a jerk. Like, literally, he's just a jerk. But
He's got a killer stash on the daily fantasy site that I'm using. But yes. Dustin Johnson, 11,200. Little DJ action. I had JT, but I subbed him out and put in a little DJ because DJ played well here 2 years ago, and I'm just riding the DJ wave. Graham McDowell, I'm riding that.
Yeah, love
there
it.
We go.
He is excited to get back out on the golf course, boys. He is excited to shoot his first hole in one because Brendan's taking it away from him because Brendan's mean.
No, I didn't take it away from him. The PGA Tour did. Continue.
Well, you took it away from me. No, so I'm going with Graham because I really think I've always liked Graham. I've always respected Graham. I loved his kind of, he's kind of got a little Ricky Fowler in him, maybe, but
he wins.
On his backswing.
He has a major.
on his backswing, he kind of flattens it out. And him at Pebble Beach back in, I don't know what year that was, but that was, I remember watching that and being in love with golf. But Louis Oosthuizen, I think he's going to re-energize himself after that terrible, terrible playoff push, fade, shit hit, whatever you want to call it, that costed him the good old Zurich. Sorry to put it on you, Louis, but you're in my lineup this week. Doc Redman, you're a young stud. Just didn't really know where else to go, so I chose you, bud. And then Bubba Watson. Played well here 2 years ago. I really think he's hitting the ball pretty well. Just kind of love his ability right now. Let's go, Bubba.
I would agree with you that he's playing very well. Like, he's having a little bit. There's a good amount of guys who are having like a bit of resurgence this year. So comeback player of the year is going to be interesting. They probably just can give it to Tiger at the end of the day. Jeez. But you know who's not getting it? Ricky, because he doesn't play in tournaments.
Oh, I was wondering, do you think they made that thing just for him? Because, I mean, he does move the needle as far as...
They might. They might. Social media, I mean, no, they made it because of Tiger. Well, they made it because of Tiger. They made it because of a lot of people, but I mean, Ricky's definitely going to be a guy who's going to be in that a lot. Yeah. But anyways, sorry, Timmy, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue.
No, I hadn't even started yet. Brendan, every time you choose Charlie Hoffman, I love it even more. I will never hate you for putting Charlie Hoffman in that daily fantasy lineup.
I'm committed. I am take committed.
You have to pick him. He's going to win. You got to keep taking him. The week you don't put him in.
Win. He never wins.
The week I do not put him in, he will win that tournament and he will win it going away.
Yep. He's going to win. And so that brings me to my first player. I left him out last week. I'm putting him back in. My steady guy. He is as steady as a rock. And I am putting him right with his partner, Charlie Schwartzel, because these two South Africans want revenge and they're going right at it. I'm putting them both in. You have Louis, Brendan, you have Charles, Mike, bang. I have them both in my lineup. I got the South Africans there from the southern part of Africa.
And just a switch on that bad boy. Just a switch quickly on that bad boy. Mikey's got Louis.
Oh, my bad. Charles.
Right. Yeah. All good. But you know who I had? Eric Van Ruyen.
He's very good. He's very
South
good.
African. You could put three in there, but I subbed him out of my lineup. I had him in because he played well at the Zurich
he's played well recently. He's played very well recently. He got into the final four at what's it called? Maybe not the final four. I think he got the quarterfinal. No, he didn't get the final four. He got the quarterfinals at the Dell match play.
The Dell Techno.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Go on, Tim. Sorry to interject, bro.
No. This is what I like to hear. This is my value pick. I feel like you guys are going to steal this, but Ricky Wawrinski.
Richie Wawrinski.
Can you talk about his finish at the, yes, it was a team event, but playing well. Mm-hmm. He's only 6,900 bones.
He's the only Ricky on tour I know. He's the only Ricky on tour I know.
Well, he's Richie, guys. He's not Ricky. We're calling him Ricky. Yes.
Yeah, dick, right? I got Jay Rose coming off his valiant effort at the Masters. Justin Rose, I'm putting him in there. I did not pick him at the Masters. I regretted it. I want to put him in here now. This is going to be the revenge tour for not winning. This is going to be Louis Oosthuizen. This is going to be Justin Rose. This is going to be Charles Schwartzer. This is going to be Corey Connors. Corey Connors for not winning in Hilton Head. And then the next last person I'm picking is Adam Hadwin because he finished second. I think it was three years ago. He won in 2018 or 2017. Wow. He won this event.
Adam Hadwin probably running a little low on budget too, I would assume.
I have no one above 10. My highest is 9, two players in the 9, two players.
What's Hadwin at?
He is at 7,600.
Oh, that's still pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Hadwin's won the event though. He won in 2017, right?
Yeah, he won.
Love that. I mean, I'm a big believer in selecting guys that have won it previously or done well. I think a course fitch is this a course where they play at the same every year or no?
Yes. Yes. It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's my lineup, and I feel confident in that one. I'm more confident than I was last week, but who knows? I wasn't confident last week, and I won $5, so maybe that'll change.
Yo, I don't know. Double up on these deep tournaments. That's really good.
Did you say DK?
No, I said D.
Oh, you did.
It's okay. This time, Timmy Root. No, I'm kidding. oh, man. Great picks, guys, as always. We'll see. We'll see if we get any winners this week. I do like the Oosthuizen pick on both of your sides because he's been playing great. But I'm just really hoping that our boy down there, Charlie Hoffman, can go ahead and come through in the clutch. Then Rory Sabatini can ruin it for me, so that way I can start hating him forever again. So we'll do that. Good job, guys. Proud of us. All right, let's get into our bogeys for the boys real quick. Did anyone play this week?
I played.
Nice.
I played Saturday. Tim, you play?
I played 9 2 hours ago.
Ooh, how'd it go?
Kids always getting out before the pod.
I gotta. I get out of work at where I work and come down here and play. I played with my buddy that I hadn't seen 10 years again. And I played with my other buddy who I play golf with rather often. And my buddy almost killed a goose with his little chicklets there. But luckily it just missed. So that's probably the best thing that didn't happen is that we did not kill a goose. As far as the golf goes, it was nice to see my buddy. He had a night and day round. I mean, he just started last week and he did not. It went as well as you can imagine for not playing in a while. And then he came out this week and he found it. So it's good to see like a drastic improvement and complete attitude change in golf. I mean, obviously we've all had those rounds where we're just, you know, completely checked out and then to see someone experience a round that we've all had in the past as to why we love the game. And you know, a round that keeps you coming back. And so it was fun to watch. Great time. Shout out Bob and Brandon.
That's awesome. I was just thinking at Chooch Golf. I mean, he almost seems like a therapist on the golf course too. Just you play with him and you just get that Zen feel and you just play better. Tim's changing people's attitudes and getting people to like golf more. This is what we're about.
Exactly.
We want people to know why we like it and we want them to like it for the right reasons.
Hell yeah. 100% agree.
People I met on Saturday on the golf course, just good people. You know, I mean, just you're going to be out there. A guy had a Providence Friars cap on, decked out, like looked like he was the freaking water boy for the Providence Friars basketball team, like literally wearing a jumpsuit all black on the golf course at 72. And it was pretty windy out there. We played in Wyoming, Rhode Island, Meadowbrook, one of our really beloved tracks. I was really, really excited to get out there, and the lead up and the build up and the night before, you're having a couple of drinks with the boys and you're just talking about the round to be, and it's the build up is almost just as fun as the actual round itself. You know, me and my brother, I got out there 11 o'clock tee time, perfect timing. We show up the twosome. We obviously registered as a twosome. So there was obviously another twosome. So they got there a little before us. What do you know?
What a surprise.
They got there a little before us. We got there just after them and right before a big group that was going off next. So we played as a twosome, and we obviously got close to the twosome ahead of us that was we were supposed to play with, and they were just chill. They were like, you want to play with us or not play with us? And I was like, yeah, we'll play with you. We're going to stay back. No, we'll play with you. No, we'll hang back. So I was like that guy, because I didn't know what the right thing to do was. I didn't want to hold up the people behind us, but it ended up working out perfect. Me and my brother really just had an awesome day. We took a cart. I'm not a big cart guy. You guys know that, but we took a cart, got some beverages in the back, and had ourselves a good day. And I made a quadruple bogey, but I didn't make a double. Made a good amount of bogeys and a good amount of pars and one birdie. I chipped in 10 yards off the right side of the green. It was a back pin, so I landed it maybe 2 or 3 yards onto the green, and it just rolled in. I had it breaking left to right when it hit the green, but it broke right to left, so I obviously mishit it a little right, and it just kind of barely broke left. It was pretty straight, but it went right in. But I knew I clipped it perfect. Like, it's like you just know when you hit a good shot, and I got the ball exactly perfect, but obviously the line, I mean, I can't control anything when I'm hitting the golf ball. I was just glad I hit it perfect, but it went in for bird. And again, I was proud of myself. I shot an 84. It was a 6,500 yard course. You can play that course to like 7,500, or you can play it pretty the back tees are far back.
74, 68.
And that's, we usually play it from like 68, Tim. We usually play like six, the blues.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'll tell you, I was hitting driver pretty decent, but like the spots that I would end up in were like manageable. You know, it was like actually really enjoyable to play it, play the forward tees, kind of think less of yourself, try and better the scorecard, just go out there and play it forward and enjoy your round. So it was lovely. And I have a round tomorrow and I have a round Wednesday morning. So I'm getting out there.
Very nice. Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to play this weekend. We had really crappy weather down here. So that was super, super unfortunate. I know, right? Rain, crazy rain on Saturday night and into Sunday morning. And by that time it was just like, oh God, it was bad. It was just bad conditions. So we're just like, can't even play. Damn it. So, oh, well, it happens. Not a big deal. We move on, and we do move on to my favorite segment, to everyone's favorite segment. To all 17, no, I'm kidding. We did better than 17 listeners, but to all of our listeners out there, it is the weekly Chooch's golfer poll. So Timmy, take it away. Give us the golfer poll. We'll give you wrong answers, but we'll give you answers anyway. So go right ahead, bud.
All right, Chooch's and Chuchita.
I can't keep a straight face.
So I had a question for you two that I know it's a question that's going to split you two, but I, in lieu of our discussion on different formats and or different, whatever that we were talking about this, Eric, I'm going to substitute this one today. What situation rings your loins more? What gets your testosterone flowing? What gets you amped more in this situation? So the situations are, you roll up to a drivable par four. Tell me you're not ready to rip going, or in a scramble, when that first person, the most underrated person in a scramble, hits one in the fairway, and all you have to do is say, let's take out the big stick and rip it.
Oh, this is brutal. This is tough because...
So you roll up to the tee on a drivable par four, you're playing by yourself, or that first person in the scramble hits just a buttery little drive down the middle and it
what hole number? What hole number? This is key. This is key. What hole number? Because in a scramble, I've probably had a few beverages, and I'm really gonna grip it and rip it if someone ahead of me hits it straight and pretty long. But in when I'm trying to shoot my low score, I mean, I'm gonna obviously keep it within the guidelines and try and shoot that low score. I love both scenarios, Tim. I absolutely do. But I think I'm going with rings my loins more. What rings my loins more?
That's what a Tim Cup going? Line.
What gets you going? Gets the people going.
What hole distance is the one in the scramble?
Is it 270 yards.
In the scramble?
No. In the short par four.
Okay. Oh, the regular par four is like
the hole in the scramble.
Like 350, 400 probably, right?
Yeah.
Like a normal par four.
Yeah.
It could be a wide open.
I think I'm going for the green. Give me the potential to make a hole in one on a hole. I live for those moments.
Ooh,
yeah, I'm going for the green. I'm going short par four as well. And it's mostly because I'm not good at driving the green, but like every time I want to take out the big stick, I'm just like, we're doing it. And then we don't get it there. But hey, we give it a go. We try it. Then we have a nice chip. We get on the green and then we two putt for our par. So we don't one putt. No, two putts. Everyone knows the rules, not one putt. but yeah, so I just think like there is a bigger feeling. Like I get it on the side of the scramble, but if you're by yourself and you see a drivable par four and you just want to get it there, like I would take out that big dog and I'd go right for it.
Good question, Tim. What rings your loins, brother?
Ooh, so I'm gonna agree with you guys. I did it today. There was one of those shots I laid up on the first one. I hit a 170 yard shot, and then so I can hit it over a water. I mean, it's a dogleg left over, but I was like, hold on, guys, I need to do this for me. I took a ball, I teed it up, and I hit it over the trees, over the water. You know, a blind tee shot. It's like 270 to drive the green. And I landed it right on the front of the green.
Hell yeah.
But it felt good. I obviously it wasn't for my score, but I had to do it because I know that feeling. You want that feeling. And for me to stop everyone and say, I just need to hit this one. I just want to keep, you know, I'm a quick golfer. I like to go. But you know, and to stop everyone and say, I gotta hit this because I'm chasing that feeling. I know it. As far as the scramble goes, I think the only thing that is more for me, I don't know if there's a better drive to a course than knowing you're going to play a scramble with your buddies.
There's not.
When you're leaving your house and you're driving to that course, and you know full well that you are going to be hitting, you're going to be hitting a shit drive, and it doesn't matter. And you go and you're with your buddies and you get to whack the shit out of the ball. You get to eat some sort of buffet after, and you just have basically no pressure golf, having fun. I don't know. There's no better drive to a golf course than that.
100%.
I would agree with that, but I'm still taking the drivable part.
Oh no, that yes, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
Oh man.
So that's the golfer poll today.
That was a great one. That was a fantastic golfer poll. With that, guys, we always do. We ended on that golfer poll because, by God, it is the best part of the show. If you want to follow us on social medias, you can follow us at the links below. No, I'm kidding. you can follow Duffin Up at Duffin Up Blog on Twitter and Instagram. And then you can follow at Duffin Up on TikTok as well. We are crushing it there. We've reached 1,000 followers today.
1,000 followers. That is all because of Brendan. Yeah. Let it be known. 100% Brendan.
Tim helped out too. Don't worry. Tim's got his own though. Tim, where can they find you?
At Shoot Golf on TikTok, and continue to you'll see some previews on both, and you know, follow Brendan. He's got all original stuff. He posts daily. He's doing a real good job. I mean, he's putting in some serious effort right now, and it should not go unnoticed.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. If you want to follow Michael, you can follow his MySpace account.
No. We're out of MySpace. No. I thought I told you guys that last week.
You did. But we're still bringing it up.
Brian O'Reilly, he actually had a good idea. Follow me on The Grint, which is a golf app where you can friend people and follow their scores. So I can track my score every shot. I can track whether it went green in regulation, fairway in regulation. I can track each individual shot. I can track it, the GPS. It shows you how far you're on each hole. It's
that is very nice. I like it.
The Grint. I'll be on there. I'm going to try. I'll throw out free ads. I mean, I've been a big 18 birdies guy. If you're just getting into golf and want to track your score and you're just trying to keep it on your phone where you can, again, see your distance into every hole and it's accurate yardage. I don't have a range finder, just 18 birdies and The Grint are two wonderful apps that can kind of you do away with that scorecard. No pencil, no paper. I know that's
I like the scorecard.
The old school way to play. Right. You can do both. But it's cool because you can go back and see how many rounds you played, see where you played, see how you played. It keeps like a kind of a vague handicap. So handicap. But yeah.
That's awesome, that's man. Where
I guess you can find me for now.
And you're on TikTok too, and you're on Facebook and all that stuff too.
I changed my profile picture on TikTok. I'm making big time steps.
His profile picture was nothing before,
and now we got him putting with his butt facing us. It's great. So if you like Mike's butt, go follow Mike on TikTok.
Follow the dump truck.
No, but I do agree with Mike's part. Like, I use 18 birdies all the time. I'll have to download The Grint too, because it seems a little bit more of a social side. So that's great. And honestly, that has kept me from spending like $300 on a range. Definitely going to keep using that. But as always, guys, thank you very much. Tim, go ahead. You got it.
Everybody play better, baby.
There we go. Michael.
Hole everything, fellas. Hole it all.
Mike's got one. We're so happy about that. Let it fly, boys. Let it fly, boys and girls. Duff daddies and Duff mamas all out there. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you.